morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Deputy Tenancy this morning in regards to a delay. Would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
John Linton Williams, 57663.
Thanks, sir. This hearing is for a Medicare home rest or after discharge. You were certified on January 30th, 2018 for this hearing. You originally became your own way through December 11th, 2011.
Yeah.
Okay, you're 54 years old, serving a license for armed robbery, which began on September 20th, 1987.
So it was not a real assault.
Pardon?
It was not a real assault, not armed robbery. It was not a real assault.
You were originally sentenced to the armed robbery and aggravated assault. All of the rest of them have expired, so this is the aggravated assault charge. Okay. You were found guilty by a jury on February 21st, 1986, and you were sentenced on March 21st, 1986. There was a delay in sentencing because the court wanted to determine whether or not the state proved that you were on probation at the time of the offenses, and that information was approved by the court. And so the following sentences were issued, which was a 25 to life. There was a second-degree burglary and a theft that were also in there, 11 and a quarter years apiece, which was expired. So we're only dealing with the one life sentence at this time. You have a limited criminal history that was found. However, you have been convicted of two prior felonies. One was suing law enforcement vehicle, and the other was theft, which was a Class 6 felony. You're on probation concurrently for both sentences at the time of this office. Your disciplinary record in prison is extensive. You have 8 murders in 2015, including fighting, assault on staff, threatening and refusing of the program. The long-term on your disciplinary record, you had 33 tickets for various forms of assaultive conduct and another 8 assaults on staff total. The staff assaults were 2010 through 2015, so it was an escalation of violence rather than reduction. The programming is moderate, but you're currently enrolled in several good programs. That sound correct so far, sir?
Yeah, I got tickets coming on. My mom passed away, and she was having her capacity to leave another county, so I went off. She got all tripped out when she passed away. My mother's got her capacity to leave from the parole board and the commutation board. That's why I got tickets in 2015.
Okay, so we'll discuss that a little bit more as you go. On limited probation, you were approved for an interstate contact to California in the middle of the year, but you returned to Arizona without informing anybody, any of the staff in either one of the states. And then while you were back over here, that's when this offense occurred. You don't have much of a release plan. There's no acceptance letters or any accepted address locations for you to stay. And you said you'll need assistance to find employment, which is, a normal process going out there, and you're planning on applying for government-driven assistance and SMI benefits. Do you have any skills to work with, or?
Yeah, I'm a chef and a cook.
Okay. Where's that? could be quite a bit of employment out there. The economy's picking up, people are eating out more. Let's see. My mind went blank. I was going to ask you a question. Okay, if you know, if you were released, where would you plan on going? What?
If I go back to California, if I could, back to Illinois, so I'd go back to Chicago and be employed there, working in the kitchen, the restaurant business, hotel chain.
Okay. Well, do you have anybody here, any family or friend in Arizona?
No, I don't.
Okay, so generally an initial parole after such a long incarceration requires you to stay in Arizona and think for a while. And it's, the halfway houses are, can be a better bet, but you have to send letters to them asking them for, you know, to, you're applying to stay there. Okay, I'm going to go over a brief summary of the offense right now, and then we'll move on. June 1985, shortly after midnight on the 11th. You entered the victim's house through an unlocked front door. Once inside, you took numerous items, including jewelry, cash, and a TV set, taking the into the victim's car. You used the victim's keys to disconnect some of the electronics you had taken. You placed all that in the back of the victim's car, which was in the car. You went into the master bedroom where the victim was sleeping alongside his wife, and you placed your hand over her mouth, and she screamed and bit you, and at the same time her husband woke, and you ran out of the house. But you went into the victim's car, grabbed a large knife, and that you had taken earlier, and then you chased the victim into the living room. There the victim grabbed sausage over for self-protection, and the defendant, and you run out the front door. Used the victim's car to get away, and by the police were notified, and then subsequently there was no disguise in the car, there was a short pursuit. You ran from the vehicle, and but you eventually caught hiding in the car. And you were identified as a shooting by one of the victims. So you were booked in charge of the crime. So does that sound about right, sir? Okay, so you had drug and alcohol problem at that time, and that's what promoted the bias?
Yeah.
Okay, so you went to the house to take stuff to support your drug habit?
No, somebody else told me to do it.
Okay, why did they want you to do it?
Because it was only people who were for a working job.
Having trouble with your life and your drugs and alcohol and all that, and that's what promoted that. We don't have a huge record, but you know the charges that were on probation for weren't near as serious as this. But why'd you come back to Arizona after you went to California on the interstate contact?
So I'm in college in the West Spring Break to come back to do a Christmas time and get Christmases with my family down in Tucson. So we were going around in Tucson, so I was getting Christmas meals from them. So I couldn't come back, they just said I stayed compact to California when I was going to college over there in California, Los Angeles Community College.
Okay, I would think that if, you know, if you talk to the PO over there and they talk to the POs over here, that they could have made an arrangement. So you came back for Christmas, and 6 months later, you committed this crime, but he was still in Arizona, so he didn't have any intention to go back there and go to school?
Yeah, I was trying to go back to school, going to university, from the community college.
Okay. It's Christmas, it was in December, and this was in June after that, so...
You just heard from that time ago. I don't know why you remember that 32 years ago. I don't know why you remember so much back then.
Okay. Well, why don't you remember that much about back then? How do you remember 32 years ago?
I've been to jail. You know, since I don't even put my mind on dwelling on what's happened in the past, I went to the future, you know?
Okay. Well... Unfortunately, you can't make it go away, and unfortunately, no one can really forget about it. But you're right,
because discrimination, racism is all about the building of what's happening with the border. You know, we have to go to court or something to see why I can't get out on probation for something that happened 32 years ago. That's quite a long time ago, if you remember it not. 2018, to be a judge for it. Double jeopardy.
Okay, well, you know, it is a problem. I can't speak for previous boards, but I can speak for myself as one voting member right now. It's troublesome that you're on probation for two felony crimes. It's time you committed this offense, and along with that, you were expelled from that.
I'm 19, 18 years old, 17 and 6 months. I wouldn't grow up. You know, I was going to be 21 and be grown. I'm like in my teens, a teenager. Teenagers make mistakes, you know.
Well, they both make mistakes, too. And teenagers, you know, and I mean, most teenagers make mistakes. I agree with that, but most teenagers' mistakes aren't felony offenses, and they're not abounding from probation.
I see juvenile prisons full of teenagers.
Well, what percentage, tell me, sir, what percentage of the juveniles in this country are in juvenile hall?
I don't either,
but I can guarantee it's a very small percentage of all the teenagers out there. Just like in adult prison, you know, you are fortunately for society, you're one of the minority overall of people, of adults that are, you know, have committed problems of crimes and end up in jail. So you have to look at, and I agree with what you said about you got to move forward. We can never forget the past, we can never forget the victims, but yes, you're right, you have to move forward and try to move forward in a positive manner rather than negative manner. So, sir, tell us what you've done since you've been in prison to improve yourself, to make yourself a better citizen, make yourself more compatible with society.
I participated in schools, I participated in getting certificates and degrees and ribbons from the recreation department director, and I've been participating in church service. Doing church service and trying to be a new person to Christianity. You know, I'm doing Christianity a lot, you know.
But tell us about you, the changes to you. Anybody can go to classes, anybody can go to church, anybody can attend things, but when you attend them, what did you learn?
That is me. I did it for 32 years. That's what I've been doing in the penitentiary.
But what have you done for
them? When I was 8 years, I was in trouble with other officers. I had been doing strikes and knives on nobody in the field with people my offenses right there on the street. I had been doing things with people. Two street charge without going to court, so I was prejudiced, you know what I'm saying? And discrimination, and racism, and opinion, you know? So, I ain't been doing too much of nothing to get in trouble to get street charge.
Okay.
Well, one of my court fights and one of my court battles in Paris 2 in court.
Okay, so what is it about you not attending classes, but when you attend a class, what has that done for you, your personality, your mental state? What has that done to help you qualify to be, you know, out of prison?
Well, my time, can you compress the new around the coat a little bit, but then they have me change that much from my shirt, or I've been running a lot, you know? I need to have lawyers and attorneys and private investigators to come there and look up while I've been running in the penitentiary on my family's behalf, and then I'm still in Arizona, you know? And by the states of the United States.
Okay. All right, well, sir, I'm going to see if my fellow judges have any questions with this. Mr. Canales?
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Williams?
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Tony?
Yeah.
It looks like that you had a lot of discipline inside the Department of Corrections in 2015, but there hasn't been a lot in the last 3 years. So what was going on in 2015, and what caused the change for you to stay out of trouble, so to speak, since then?
My mom passed away, my grandmother, my grandfather passed away, my uncle passed away from Cook County Jail in Chicago, and I changed my attitude because I see they buy more new people getting along than what they're getting along nowadays, you know, they're really going to war out there, so I just came back to myself, sit out of program and class, and just think to myself, like I always did, and go to class and program the college certificate, because my sister is on the college out here, we're attending to and Coolidge, so I just got our program and be myself, you know.
Well, sir, Mr. Williams, out of respect, I hear your frustration. I hear the frustration of your plight inside the prison system, and I do want to commend you for making that change in these last 3 years. I have no further questions.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Williams, I'm just looking at your record, and this thing in 2015 kind of bothers me. You said that your mother died in 2015, which caused you just to be angry, but a lot of the violations that you had in 2015 was prior to your hearing, and when did your mother pass?
2013 or something like that, I think. Because it was 2013, and she asked me at the hearing, it was in 2011, and I had her come down to Peoria for the hearing from Fontana, California, where she was living at from there, retired from a school teacher, substitute teacher in Arizona, and she wanted me to come out there and live with her in California, so I asked the board if I could travel out there, and they said I could. Well, I paid for it myself, and we've been waiting on the money to come. Price I could have saved up for it, but I was getting holidays, treats, Christmas time, Thanksgiving, certain presents to my nephews and nieces, new arrivals in the community, you know?
Because you said that, sir, but it looks like in October of 2015 is when you appeared before the board. At that time when you appeared before the board, you got very upset with the board, using profanities, making threats, racial slurs, and calling the board names. And then you said to the board that you were going to kill all of the members of the board because they had just killed your mother. So that was in 2015, sir. So I'm trying to understand.
The lawsuit filed on my behalf. Of course, and I got Johnson people representing me on that. And I got Johnson sitting on the parole board. Johnson went on trial. I kind of know why all these Johnsons coming up in my life. You keep judging me.
Well, I wasn't on the board at the time when that happened. I don't know.
They hadn't been there with my trial. When I was going to trial, she was going to the state hospital. I went down there, my parole, my mother's board of inquiry about that state. And everything she left for with Christian ministry went on, you know. And I just kind of wondered why y'all keep popping up around me.
Well, sir, it also looks like that several of those tickets that you received in 2015 were just refusals to sleep with anyone that wasn't black. You know, room with anyone that wasn't black. Is that right?
But I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's kind of what
they
it said.
They integrated.
Huh?
I don't know about that. They let me integrate.
Are you integrated
with blacks?
Are you integrated with whites now?
I've been with whites, but I'm good. I wasn't part.
But you're not now, though.
No, I'm a single cell.
Okay, so what type of
a medication are you taking, sir, for the healthy within the mental issues that you may have? Are you still taking shots?
I don't know. How dog could you? Or how dog is preventing? How dog is something else? For mental health problems, Mrs. Johnson.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, sir, we're near the end of your hearing, and we'd like to allow you an opportunity to give us a final statement before we make a decision. So we just ask that you don't repeat yourself. Yes, sir.
I think the world doing real racism, prejudice, and discrimination gave me some 2011 and Congress quite a few family deaths, you know? So I've been quiet, I'll just take it to court and see what I can get from the government about lawsuits and suits comparing racism and prejudice and discrimination. A lot of my family members passed away unnecessarily trying to get me out through the parole board. Now I'm trying to look for the county commutation board to see what happens. But it's not real, I mean, if I got to pay money in restitution to see if I can get out, you know. So that's the way it's been going on since 2011.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. We ask that you remain silent, but stay on the phone. You can hear everything we have to say. And once we're done making a decision, I'll get back to you, and we'll finish the hearing then, okay?
Okay.
All right, one is non-discussion. This really is definitely an unfortunate case. But I know Mr. Williams has been in for a long time, and would like to get back out in the community, and to his family. We'd like to get him back out there, but the community, the disciplinary, I know it was 3 years ago, but it would be pretty much the entire year. And even though we had a full hearing going at that time, along with whatever triggered it, that the truth history and, you know, the media today, and we know if I'm not inclined to Sir? Okay, yeah. We ask that you remain silent while we're in discussion, sir. As I was going to say, I'm not in favor of a relief impact at this time, but I know there was some discussion, so many of my fellow board members. Any discussion? Okay, based on all the information in our packet and information we've received from Mr. Williams himself and our discussion, I am going to move to deny Mr. Williams a written form from arrest or after discharge at this time, and it would be a preliminary setup.
Second.
Okay, and Jason Wilder III.
This is discrimination for the world.
Trial to the victims. Multiple victims. Victim harassment. Other previous probation parole. History of assault and behavior, prior criminal history, because of the entirety of it, he was classified as, you know, offensive with repeated offenses, poor institutional behavior, and all those 3 years of fairly recent disciplinary infractions, history of assault and behavior. Lack of program, hearing and no family community. If there's anything else that you'd like to add, okay. All right, sir. The board voted to deny you home arrest after discharge at this time. I read off the briefing. Would you understand the reasons for that, or would you like me to read them to you here?
I take it to court. I go to court, man. I see you in court.
Okay.
I go to court.
Okay, thank you. Sir, thank you. This will end your hearing.
I'm looking forward to it.
I can't.
Mrs. Jones?